Sit so much small and say that people were depressed and made it seem so. Let's have prayer right now for those missionaries' needs, okay? Our Father, thank you so much for this report. Father, we pray for the works that we support. We pray for the works all around the world that we're not even involved in, Father, that you support. Father, we pray for anyone out there boldly proclaiming your word. We pray for their needs that they be met, Father, and that you just prosper these works. So, Father, expand your kingdom. We want to see everyone on the glory side of heaven, and we thank you for being such a great God, Father, that you'd care for us, that you would invest in us, that you would just see that these works just do great and can continue to prosper, Father. And we pray for each one of those that they just do a great work in those places, Father. And we just thank you for an opportunity to be part of them. Just go with us during the service and God direct me in everything that I do. Hide me behind the cross. In Jesus' name I ask these things. Amen. All right. Lift my Bible. So where are we at tonight? James chapter 2. So we left off last Wednesday night, and we were talking about making sure we don't have any ketones in our gospel. Nobody knows what I'm talking about. We were talking about making sure that when we present our gospel, that there's no trace of works in it, right? So that was a good litmus test. We talked about if you go back and you look at what Paul did, you look at chapter 3 in Romans, and Paul starts to talk about how there's none good, no, not one, and he starts talking about justification by faith. And then when he gets done, you get to chapter 6, the question that's asked, that he poses, he says, so what can we just do? We just keep on sinning that grace may abound? And that's a logical question. That when we present the gospel right, when we tell someone the true gospel, that's probably the logical question anyone asks. So What place does good works have in this then? What do we do with that? What part does that play? And what part does works play in our salvation? None. We cover that. That's something I want to make sure that we have solidified in our hearts and our minds before we go one step further into what we're getting ready to look at tonight. That works have no part in our salvation. James goes through this, and I see he takes good notes from his brother. Because, you know, we've been studying about the questions of Jesus, and James right here has got two questions. He's got this back to back. And remember this. Remember that questions sometimes reveal a little bit more than giving us the answers, doesn't it? We have to ask ourselves the questions. Look at these questions. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Right out of the gate, right here, I just want to stop right out of the gate. Look what the question is. What doth it profit? Right here we're dealing with profit. I want you to understand, Joe, we're dealing with profit and not eternal life. Right here. That's one thing you got to understand. This is one of those things that people like to pull out of a hat and say, that works is really important to our salvation, but we're not talking about eternal life right here. We're talking about what does it profit, and what does a profit mean? Does it benefit? What does it accomplish? What does it help with? Good, Leticia. What good is that faith? I mean, what good does it profit if it hath not works? Then he asks the question, can faith save him? And this is actually like a rhetorical question. And the rhetorical question, the answer to this rhetorical question is actually no. It's no. And it comes down to the correct definition of what save means here. We have to define what save means. Anywhere that you read save in the Bible, save means to deliver. It does not mean eternal life in heaven. Save means to deliver. Anytime you read save, if you'll just remember that means to deliver, and what we have to determine what we're being delivered from is by the context. One thing you can go to, for an example, go to Ephesians 2:8, And 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." So right there it says that by our grace we are saved through faith, we are delivered. What are we delivered from? We're delivered from the consequence of sin. Okay? We're delivered from the consequence of sin. Now let's look at the context of this. Right here we're not talking about being saved from the consequences of sin. What are we talking about right here? Let's back up and look at our context. We read this about 3 Wednesdays ago in verse 12. "So speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty." James just started talking about the law of liberty, and he's talking about this judgment seat of Christ, where one day you and I will have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we'll have to give an account for what we've done in the body. What we'll have to, done in the body. And the rewards will be handed out and the privileges will be distributed. And Jesus tells frequent parables about this, and Paul talks about it a whole lot. But the idea that James is communicating right here is when you and I stand before Jesus as believers, we'll stand there because of our faith. Alright? When we stand before Jesus, we're going to be standing there just because of faith and faith alone. That's what got us to that judgment seat of Christ. That faith that got us there. But faith won't be the thing that's being judged there. It'll be our works. And on that day, it'll be what did we do with the gifts and talents that God has given us. That's what it'll be. And that day when we stand before Jesus at judgment seat of Christ, what did you and I do with the things that Jesus has given us? And that day, James says, faith alone will not be profitable. It will not be profitable. That won't be what's looked at. That's what got you there. But when he comes, he says, well, what did you do with the freedom and the gifts and the talents that I've given you, and you have nothing to show? That day, faith, you say, well, I had faith. That got you eternal life, but that doesn't get you a reward in heaven. And the answer, you know, some people ask the question and say, well, can I sin all I want and still be saved? Can I just do what I want? You know, there's a lot of answers to that question, actually. But one of them is, you can, but you'll lose your reward in heaven. Another one is that Jesus says, if you love him, you'll keep my commandments. You know, and I liken this. I thought about this the other day. You know, can I talk to my mother and to be disrespectful? And can I hurt her feelings? And can I be just a bad child? Will she ever cease being my mother? No, she won't. She'll still be my mother. But if I love her, I won't do those things. And so, someone who's saved, someone who has faith, they've ever. If you just kind of think about this for a minute, you know, and when someone asks that question, if that's in their heart. To that they want to sin against God. They want to see, well, I can get away with anything and it'll be okay. It's one thing to be curious, but it's one thing if you're trying to say, I'm doing this so now I've got to get out of jail free card. If you ever put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you actually like realize that day your sins were transferred off you and onto the shoulders of Jesus and that He died for them. That's an absurd question to ask. It really is. It's an absurd question. And you know, if you were talking to someone, I'd keep talking with them for a while. I'd keep working with them if they asked you a question like that. But James is going to illustrate something right here. In verse 15, love James's illustrations. He says, "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be you warmed and filled, notwithstanding, and give them not those things that they are needful to the body, what does it profit?" What does it profit? If someone comes to you and they need some stuff, and they need some food, and they need some clothes, and they need some water, and you're like, you know what? God's got you. God's got you. I ain't worried about it. I got total faith. God's got you. You go ahead. Hey, don't you worry about a thing. Depart. Go back the way you came. God's got you. I ain't worried about it. That's terrible, isn't it? That's terrible. And when you and I stand before Jesus, He's going to want to know why we didn't help that person. Why didn't you help that person? And that day, you stand up before him, and you're sitting there, and you're standing before Jesus, you're like, I thought you had him. I thought you had him covered, Jesus. I had total faith you got him the whole way. Jesus said, if we'll give a cup of, Matthew 10:42, if we'll give a cup of water to someone, we won't lose our reward in heaven. We are the instruments that He uses to show love to other people, to do things for other people, to to minister to whatever various needs they got. And that day when we stand before Jesus, it won't be good enough to stand there and say, I had faith you had it. I had faith you'd do it. We see in the Bible, He's asked us to be those people, the people that clothe them, house them, to feed them, to love them, to warm on them. Whatever we do to the least of those, we've done to Him. In verse 17, He says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Another word we need to define as dead. I was talking about dead being over there. We were over there next door, and we're talking about once we were dead in our trespasses and sin, and we talked about how dead doesn't mean that you're non-existent. That doesn't mean that it's not there. If a car battery dies, it doesn't mean the car ceases to exist. It means it's useless and it doesn't run. If I die, that doesn't mean that I cease to exist. That means that I'm useless, I'm dead, and I don't have any function. We talked about being dead in trespasses and sin, and I said, have you ever been stuck in a car? Have you ever been, like, had all the things there? You had the four wheels, you had an engine, you had a gear shift, and you were stuck, and you were just spinning there. The Bible says we were once dead, we were stuck, we were useless, we were just stuck in our trespasses and sin, and God, He quickened us. He made us alive, He got us out of that rut. And right here we're reading, it says, even so, faith that has not worked, it's dead. It's useless. Has no profit, being alone. Verse 18 says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. James answers this and says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? You see, the devil's got good theology. Devil's got good theology. He knows that there's a God. He trembles when you say the name of God. But does the devil have good works? The devil doesn't have good works. And James says that as much as we want to separate faith and works, they do go together. They're a part of one another. They run hand in hand. But he says, look at what he says how he concludes that. He says, O vain man, empty man, that faith without works is dead. It's useless. It has no profit. James is getting ready to whip out the trump card on him. So right now, James is talking to believers. He's talking to his Jewish believers, and they're trying to figure out how to live this Christian life. I mean, they're brand new Christians. Brand new Christians are trying to figure out how to deal with one another. They don't know when to pray. They don't know when to give. They don't know, they don't know who to select as leadership. They don't know how to do any of these things. And this thing comes up, which is natural, and they're like, what about works? What do we do about works? They're talking, what do we do with them? You said that we're not justified. You said that we're saved through our faith, but what do works play? James says, that if your faith doesn't have works, it's useless. What good is it? And he's getting ready to lay down a trump card. He's getting ready to throw, you know what a trump card is, right? It's the one that takes everything away. So he's getting ready to give him an example right here. He's going to throw out a trump card, and he's going to give him an illustration that everybody knows. He's going to talk about Abraham. In verse 21, he says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? That don't sound right, does it? I think I read something like totally opposite somewhere over it, didn't I? It says it's justified by works. I can remember specifically hearing that Abraham was justified by faith. Romans 4:1. You want to flip to Romans 4:1? Keep your place right here. I don't hear the sound of leaves rustling. Romans 4:1. Everybody must be on a digital device. What shall we say? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Huh. It almost sounds like James and Paul had like this contradictory message. Because James was like, hey, you know, Abraham was justified by his works. Paul says, no, he's justified by his faith. Well, how do we reconcile these things? Well, both of them men are talking about two different instances in Abraham's life. Paul is talking about in Genesis chapter 15, where God promises Abraham that he will be the father of many nations. And Abraham believed on him, and that was counted unto him for righteousness. That's Genesis 15:6. But James is actually referring to something that occurs 15 years later. So look at this. Chapter 15, Abraham was justified by his faith. God said, I'm going to bless you. You're going to be a father of many nations. And Abraham believed him. And that right there, that day, Abraham believed God, and that was counted to him for righteousness. Now, what James is talking about is 15 years later, in chapter 22, when Abraham climbs a hill, tells two of his servants to stay at the bottom of the hill. He goes up there, he builds the altar, he lays his son down, and he pulls his knife up and gets ready, and the angel says, hold up! James says that day, he was justified by works. What does justify mean? First, justify doesn't mean saved. Justify means declared righteous. Okay? I know we got a little clever saying, we say justification, just as if I'd never sinned, but what that means is that we're declared righteous. Abraham was declared righteous 15 years ago by God because he believed in him. James says that on this day, when he went and took his son up to the altar and picked up that knife, he was justified before men. Men declared him righteous. How do we know that? How do we know that men did it? Let's look on what he says here. Verse 22 says, seest how faith wrought with works, wrought with his works, and by works his faith was made perfect? Do we remember what perfect meant? Remember what James talks about perfect several times early in this letter. And perfect means to be mature, right? He says, do you see how faith and works move together and they bring about maturity? Can you see how that works? Does anyone see how that works in their own life? Does anyone see where one day you actually had the faith, you believed in what the gospel that you heard and you were saved? And then maybe a little bit later on, you started to do something. Maybe you started to come to church. Maybe you started to pray. Maybe you started to witness. Maybe you started to help other people, to serve other people, love other people. Was your faith not matured? Do you not grow? And every day that you do something, that you do a work, is those works empty and useless? Do they not have any profit to you? They do. They mature. I mean, look at Abraham. Look at him. In chapter 15, he believes God has counted to him for righteousness. What all happens in Abraham's life from the span of chapter 15 to 22? Everything happens. And men are watching Abraham to see what happens in his life because this man is declared righteous before God. He believed God. He's stepping out in faith. He's walking with his family. He's going. He's doing all these things. Let's see what happens in Abraham's life. And then they see one day that he climbs a mountain with his son to sacrifice him. Let's read on here. What we're getting ready to read, I would love this to be said about me. I'd love this to be said about our church. Verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled which said Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. God didn't call him a friend of God. Other men called him a friend of God. You understand? Other men saw what he had done, and they called him a friend of God. What did our Lord and Savior say? He said, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's exactly what Abraham did. Abraham let his light shine. He climbed up on top of that mountain. He followed God in direct obedience. He did a work, and those men seen, they called him a friend. That man's a friend of God. Any man to do something like that, that's a friend of God. Oh, I'd love to be called a friend of God. I'd be good on a tombstone, Jack. Remember that for me, okay? If I go for you. How do we be called a friend of God? John 15:24, Jesus says, You are my friends if you do what I command you. What Abraham did. That's how you become a friend of God, how you get called a friend of God, how people notice that you listen to God is by your works. By what we do here in the flesh. Our faith is great. Our faith gets us eternal life. But how we witness is how we live. What we do. What we do in this flesh. What we do in other people. I'm so glad I'm eternally secure. I'm so glad that if I couldn't do a work, I'm going to be in heaven. But I'm also so glad He allows me to work for Him. I'm so glad I'm working for the kingdom. I'm a kingdom employee with no pay. I don't need pay. I'm just a resident. Get to live there for free. In 24, verse 24, you see how then that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. It says, can you see this? Can you see here? Can you see now that I've explained this to you, that I've talked to you about Abraham, and I showed you that he did have faith, but then he did these works. Can you see how man's not just justified one way? They're not declared righteous. You're not just declared righteous by God. You're declared righteous in how you live your life. There's two different ways that we can be declared righteous before God and before men. And then, what you have here is what I think is. I mean, I'm just saying, if I was back there in those days, you know, they felt Father Abraham, he was up on a pedestal, and that was a great man of faith. And he's sitting there giving this example about, look at Abraham. Look at how Abraham was justified by his works. And they're like, yeah, of course Abraham was. Of course, Abraham. Everybody knows Abraham does everything right. Okay, he says, okay, let's change the illustration up and let's take it to a prostitute. And he goes in verse 25 and he says, likewise also not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. Remember the story when the two spies come up to Rahab's house and they tell her about what God's going to do to Jericho, and she believed God. She was justified by God in that moment in her belief. She was justified before men because we tell a story about it today about what she did. She let them out another way. She said, stay here, and she showed them another way out. I think that probably settles the argument with them. Because at first they're probably like, you know, of course we can't live up to Abraham, but let me tell you about Rahab. Then last, here he illustrates, just to illustrate the point of earlier, he said, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So we know the body without the spirit isn't non-existent, right? It doesn't mean that the body ceases to not be here. It just means that it's useless. The body without a spirit is absolutely useless. And so is our faith without works. If we don't act this thing out, if we don't do works, then our faith is useless. It's just profitable. Our faith is just profitable and just got us to heaven. That's all it did. It just secured us. But we didn't do another thing for another person with that. James is trying to give them practical Christianity. This isn't just about you. This isn't just about you securing your way. Our life as Christians is about securing the way for telling other people about the way. It's about getting them on board. And the only way we can do that is if they see us doing things and walking in faith and doing those things. And what we want to see is people looking and say, I don't see how you're doing that, brother. How are you doing that? I'm doing it by faith. I'm doing it by faith. I'm doing a work by faith. I just can't fathom. I can't fathom how you're giving that much money to this charity. I can't fathom how you're putting all that money in the offering plate every week and you're still, it's by faith. But it's a work that we're doing, and before men, they see those things, they're like, man, you must serve a great God. That God must got you because you're doing stuff I can't do. You're doing stuff I wouldn't dare try. Works has an important part, and I love that they're no part of our salvation, but I like works. I think works are great. I want to do as many as I can before I die. But I'm so glad I don't have to do them. I'm so glad I'm not justified by them for my heavenly reward. Let's stand tonight. Tonight, if as we studied this, I hope that you guys are and I know this is stuff that we have ingrained in us. I know that we teach this in the Sunday school classrooms, and most of you guys have heard this over and over and over. But I'm telling you, this is a beautiful doctrine to study out, to know that works has no part in our salvation, that God doesn't require anything on our behalf to be with Him, but that He asks us to, that He wants us to work on His behalf, that He would use such infantile instruments. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're fragile beings, we're finite beings, and that God would use us to accomplish His will. I'm humbled by that. Today, there's works to do, guys. There's works out there to do. There's works that we can be involved in. I want to do them as a church. I want to do them as a family. And I want to do them as an individual. But the first things first, is faith. Do you have my faith where it should be? Do I have faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone? Have I put my faith and trust in one of those works? If I put my faith that maybe baptism's done something for me, if I put my faith that maybe some work that I did, or being faithful, or being in these doors every time the doors are open, that's going to secure my spot in heaven, it won't. Just faith and faith alone in Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, tonight I'm so thankful, so grateful for God that justifies me based solely on my faith. Father, thank you for the opportunity to work for your kingdom, to display your love and to glorify you. What a great honor it is in my life just to try to reflect the light that you send. Father, pray for anyone here that's not asked your Son, Jesus Christ, to save them. Never put their faith and trust in what He's done at the cross of Calvary. Father, I pray that you have your will and way in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.